Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the early morning Sunday show, your gardening program in particular. My name is Anisa Isak and I welcome you to our show and shukran for having me as well as my guest Astrid Badenwurst, with a horticulturalist here at the Durban University of Technology, into your homes this morning. Well, I must say it's getting warmer. You can feel it in the air as much as we've had a bit of a cold spell in Durban the past weekend and some very wet weather. This weekend was supposed to have been another cold spell, but alhamdulillah, it is actually a very warm spring morning, albeit a slightly cloudy one without the sun coming through, but a good day, or a good morning, I should say, all the same. So Astrid, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Anisha, and good morning to the listeners.
And how are you? I'm good, Astrid, and you?
I'm very well, thank you, Anisha.
I was going to say happy South African Gardening Day.
Yes, indeed. Happy Gardening Day to all the gardeners out there. And today is all about downing your tools and celebrating your garden.
Yes, absolutely. And if you're wondering what we're talking about, well, the 11th of October marks South Africa Garden Day. And on that, we've decided that today we shall talk about the health benefits of gardening. We did touch on the topic with regards to the elderly and gardening, but today we're going to talk about how gardening and the health benefits of how it actually helps everybody who decides to take up gardening, whether it is just a one-pot gardener as I am, or if you have one of those gardens that's just lush lawn, lovely trees and flowers and shrubs all over the place, you're welcome to celebrate South African Gardening Day with us. And I've already had questions come through during the week from some of our listeners. Thank you very much. Jazakallah khair. We do appreciate it. It makes us feel really good knowing that we are providing a service to you out there and that you are participating and turning it into what we know as an interactive show. If you'd like to participate in today's show, remember you can call on 011-854-1548, or you can send us a text or a WhatsApp or even a Telegram message if you'd like on 084-030-9955. That's 084-030-9955. Right, Astrid, so we're taking a bit of a break from the gardening today, but we are going to be looking at how we can actually gain from gardening. So what are the health benefits of gardening? I see that Eunice is already greeting and saying good morning to Astrid and making salam to me. Wa alaikum as-salam. And he's also sent through a request, but we'll look at that in a few moments. Let's talk about gardening day, Astrid.
Okay, yes, it's actually quite, I think it's an exciting day for gardeners just to step back and basically enjoy the garden, as I said. And there are such tremendous health benefits with gardening, basically. I know there's a saying in the gardening circles, just step back and smell the roses. Mm-hmm. And that saying is so profound because it's not only smelling the roses, but it goes far deeper than that. If you basically smell the roses or any of your lovely plants that you have in your garden, your fragrant plants, the aromas is very therapeutic. And it sort of can release stress if you get all these nice perfumes. And also when you take that deep breath to basically smell the roses, you are breathing in fresh air and basically expanding your lung capacity and getting all those nice fresh air in. And that in itself is very healthy. You know, I was reading somewhere that people tend to breathe very shallow, especially when they stress, and they don't get that capacity of oxygen in your body that your body actually needs. And just by taking those deep breaths and smelling your roses, basically, you breathing in that capacity of oxygen that your body actually needs.
And I think at the same time, when you're doing all of that breathing in, and what you're also doing is calming yourself, because the deeper you breathe, the more oxygenated your bloodstream becomes, the less agitated you become, the more calmer you become, because you tend to relax more. Your body seems to sort of, your muscles tend to sort of relax. You start to feel a little happier, I think, when you're in the garden. I've noticed it. I don't know if anybody else feels the same way. You don't feel tension or depression or anger when you're in your garden.
Definitely. It's very calming, very therapeutic to be in your garden. And also doing all those gardening chores, you can have quite a workout. And you don't need to go to the gym, because if you think of lifting, if you do the proper lifting, the core muscles that you are basically working, digging and bending over, all of that gives you quite a good workout, and as keeps you fit and it keeps you healthy, basically.
Yes, no, definitely. I'm sure that, especially like I've noticed that people who for years have been gardening, they become so used to it. It's almost as if it becomes part of their routine. And when they stop, or when they find that, they can't maybe do their gardening for that particular time, or they go away, they miss it. And it's almost as if they look forward to coming back, because they have all of that goodness that you find in your garden. Because you basically sort of attaching yourself back to the universe, to the soil.
Yes, definitely. So on that point, I always talk about walking barefoot on your grass, and that is just to ground myself, basically. And even if you have a very stressful day at the office, or nowadays you work from home, I also work from home now, and I find that I get so engrossed in what I'm doing behind the computer the whole day that I actually forget to just go outside and just stand on the grass and feel the grass between my toes. And I find that at the end of the day, I'm highly stressed, and I make it a point now to take a break and just go and stand barefoot on the grass, just to ground myself, to release my stress, and it's very therapeutic.
Yes, I think that's one of the things that we did speak about before, and it's basically, allowing yourself to reconnect with the earth. After all, they say that we are made from earth, from clay. And I think when we reconnect, we sort of let go of all the tension into the earth, and just allowing ourselves to reconnect and rejuvenate as such.
Definitely, yes. And there are a lot of studies also being done with the therapeutic effects of gardening, especially with people that basically suffer from stress and other mental illnesses. And those studies have found that gardening actually makes them better. It calms them down, and in a lot of instances bring people out of that depression. Because it's so therapeutic but also healthy, there are beneficial bacteria in soil that not only boost your immune system, but it also, studies have found that it also is a stress reliever, and it basically stimulate your brain to give off certain hormones, feel good hormones, basically. So that all help you along.
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of the times, you know, you find that people who, when you're gardening, there's a lot of activity that takes place. And as you were saying, you know, you bend, you lift, you push, you sort of like, and also for children to be working in the garden, to teach them to do little things like weeding, it actually helps with their hand-eye coordination, which is so important as they get older, when they learn to cut and hold a pencil and that kind of thing. And you find also, I've noticed that a lot of people who work in their gardens have what they call a gardening glow. You know, from because of all the stimulation in the garden, they tend to sort of have this sort of healthy look on them.
Yes, they glow because they being out in the garden in the fresh air and also being exposed to sun, you absorb vitamin D from the sun. If you're indoors the whole day, you go pale and you don't get that dose of vitamin D. So, yes, that is a gardener's vitamin, I would say.
Well, definitely.
Glow.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that, and especially for our Muslim sisters out there, those of us that wear the hijab all the time, one of the deficiencies that we do have is vitamin D. And they say 10 minutes of raising your palms to the sunshine, you know, natural sunshine outside, not through a window, but outside, is actually very good if you have a vitamin D deficiency. So here's gardening that could actually give you more than 10 minutes of sunshine, and without you having to sit with your palms up in the air, you know, you could actually be doing something a lot more, what do you call it, beneficial for you. I think whilst all that exercise is taking place, understand also that you are helping your heart. So you're helping yourself if you're somebody who's, you know, had maybe bypass surgery, because you're doing all this exercise, but at a pace that you can handle, that your body can handle, not somewhere where you have to work out like in a gym where everything is fast-paced. And you're helping your body, actually. It also helps, you know, because of all this decluttering and less stressful environment, it helps you along as well with those, you know, particular things. So maybe these are some of the things, people who've been cooped up in their homes, or, you know, who've had ill health recently, and you're trying to recuperate, and you're finding that, you know, sitting inside the house all the time is getting a bit too much. If you've got a garden, maybe it's time that you spent, well spent in the garden could help you with regards to all of that.
Definitely, yes. And you know, gardening can also promote healthy eating, especially with kids that don't like vegetables. Now, they don't like to eat any vegetables because they think green is yucky. But if you get kids involved in gardening and planting their own seeds, and they can nurture these seeds from, or even plants that you buy in the nursery, or you get them involved in picking, help harvesting the lettuce and spinach and things like that, they will tend to want to eat those veggies and fruit. So yes, it definitely promotes healthy eating, and also get them involved. And apart from that, food that you harvest from your own garden, you know what the inputs are. You know it's not processed. There's no a lot of chemical residues on those food. It all depends on what, how you grow it. And then also you could consume whole foods as such, not processed foods. And that is very healthy for a person.
Yes, definitely. And the other thing also with regards to that, you know, talking about your health, being in the garden, because you are, you know, sort of like growing the healthy food, as you mentioned, and sometimes, you know, when we look at people who garden, especially those people who don't use gloves, and when they come out the garden and you see all that mud under their fingernails, and you think to yourself, oh my God, that's such poor hygiene. But actually, scientists are saying that this is a mark of good health. because there's beneficial bacteria in the soil, and the more gardening you do with your hands, the more improved your immune system becomes, which helps you then to fight sicknesses as well as infections off earlier. So that's one of the other things that you can think of. And, you know, growing your food, as you were saying, Astrid, you know, we talk about organic being expensive, but there's a way to actually grow your own organic food because you control what goes into the soil. You know, you can add your organic compost instead of using something that you think is, you know, farmers are using and it's causing us to become sick. You know, all the different chemicals that are sprayed and the irradiation process that foods go through in order for them to last longer. Sometimes foods are, the seeds are genetically modified so that you get a better crop. You know, you can actually change that and change your lifestyle in the way you may grow your food and obviously partake from that.
Definitely, yes. And there's such a lot of benefits concerning growing your own food. And if you have surplus, you can share with your neighbors, you can share with friends. And that you meet new people through gardening, and it will actually reduce loneliness. So a lot of people are living by themselves, and without even knowing, you sort of isolate yourself and become lonely, and that can also have influence on your mental being, because we are social people, and gardening and sharing and even just talking about gardening, you've got something else in common with somebody. So that reduced loneliness, basically, because now you're interacting with plants, you're interacting with other people by just sharing gardening stories or sharing plants and sharing veggies and things that you grow. And that itself is also very, very good and beneficial.
Right. And also, since you're talking about how beneficial that is with regards to sharing information, also when one thinks about gardening, I mean, the fact that you and I are speaking about this and there are people listening to us means that we are learning. So gardening allows us to sharpen our brain function, because you are, every time, you know, you're exposed to something new, your brain processes that, and then it will store the information for you. So the next time you may be sitting at a function, a wedding or a dinner or something like that, and you know, you find somebody that's also interested in gardening, and you get talking, and obviously, you know, you start sharing with one another. What happens is you are improving your memory. So gardening helps you to sharpen your brain. And I think the older we become, we start noticing that we forget things more. You know, we become we don't use much of our brain power as we used to, because you know, most of the things we do become habit. I mean, you know, we're so used to, like people say, I'm stuck in a rut, because you're constantly doing everything in the same way. As long as you know that, you know, your life is not being, there's no bumps in the road, as one would say, we tend to be happy that way as human beings. But it's good to actually have changes. So learning new things in particular is good for your brain. And gardening allows you to do that.
Yes, definitely. True. So from reducing stress, physical exercise, improving brain power, it's also, I mean, I haven't come across one negative of gardening, basically. And it's just wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's lots of things, because I actually was looking at some of the scientific backed evidence that comes with regards to gardening, and I found that there were so many things that like you said, there weren't negatives to gardening, unless maybe you are somebody that needs to be very careful of being in the garden because you have severe allergies, which is very rare. I mean, you know, you don't have to have that plant that you're allergic to in your garden. Or maybe you're new to this place, and the garden may have some plants, but those can be removed. But there's other things that come with it. One of the things that I really thought was fascinating was that one of the surprising benefits of gardening is that it restores your faith in the future. Because when you're watching a garden, you expect to see growth and change. So, you know, when someone plants a seed and you water it, you have faith in knowing that that seed will send out roots into the soil and that eventually it will support stems and leaves. And when you see that, it's faith coming into fruition. I don't know if you thought about it that way, but I thought it was really a wonderful way to think about connection with God. You're seeing his work firsthand. You know, just like when we watch a child from birth as it grows, you can see the same thing in plants. And it develops your faith and your hope in everyday life. Well, welcome back. You are listening to the Early Morning Sunday Show and the gardening program here on Radio Islam International. Astrid, are you with us?
Yes, Anisha. I lost the connection just before the break, but yes, I'm back.
All right. I found something pretty interesting, and it's about healing with plants. And we were talking about that when we sort of went on our break there. And one of the things that was pretty, people would really, really want to understand is that gardening has been used as therapy and rehabilitation. It's called social and therapeutic horticulture. I don't know if you've heard of it. But I know from somebody who's just sent me a link to an article right now, in the UK, it is used for people who may have, gone through some sort of trauma, either an illness or maybe even recovery from an illness. What they do is they use, gardening to improve physical and mental health as well as communication and thinking skills. And I thought that was so interesting because you have so many people that go through like drug rehabilitation. Gardening is actually used in that as well. Or people that are going through, maybe learning to either walk, talk, or, again, from some sort of illness or accident that they may be recovering from. And being in the garden can actually, help them to do that because even people with degenerative diseases can also gain from being in the garden.
Yes, definitely. I know it's big overseas and big in the UK, and it's known as horticulture therapy or horticultural therapy. And I've actually also read quite extensively about it. And yes, I can just see it working because of all the benefits of gardening and if it's used in that manner, it definitely is can benefit people with all those sort of conditions and be very therapeutic.
I'm sure. You know what comes to mind is when you think about the Jim Crow era in the United States, when slaves were used to till the soil and maintain farms, and you think about, I can picture in my mind all those cotton pickers or cotton growers, the slaves, the black slaves that used to sing together whilst they were on. They actually used their singing to pass messages onto one another without being caught, because people thought they were singing, but they were actually talking to one another. So that social aspect has been there for so many years, and we don't realize it. And in the 21st century, we're seeing this as therapy.
Yes, quite amazing.
All right. Yeah, what more can we add on? I mean, there's so many things that you can, it's good for the heart, it helps build self-esteem, reduces stress, makes you happy, improves your hand strength. I mean, the whole family can basically benefit from gardening.
Yes, definitely. And when the whole family is interacting in the garden, it brings that sense of family back, because nowadays kids are on computer games, on the internet and things, and that sense of family in most families isn't there. I've seen people in the same house in different rooms, and they are communicating via WhatsApp or social media, and they're in the same home. That is a
ridiculous. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. I couldn't help but laugh thinking about that situation because I've seen it as well. And people can be sitting across from each other. And instead of talking, they're texting each other. And for me, that's just something I cannot understand. Maybe it's just as you get older, these things sort of, kind of amuse us, or we just see it as being strange. But I've seen people do that. They could be sitting in the same room across the same table from each other, but instead of looking at each other and having a conversation, they're texting each other.
Yes. I don't know also about it's a new culture, but to me that is almost like you're distancing yourself from interacting. So if you get the whole family involved in gardening, they interact, they just brings back that togetherness. So that is just connecting again with people around you and with plants and everything. And then also, gardening is also good for the environment. So
yes.
You, by planting more plants, basically, plants give off oxygen, so that is good for the environment. It also encourages biodiversity. It brings wildlife back into your into the urban spaces, basically. It attracts birds, it attracts different beneficial insects and all of that. And by attracting birds back into the urban environment, that in itself is also very therapeutic for us, because you can sit in your garden, you can meditate and just listen to birds chirping all along. And it reduces your stress levels.
Absolutely. But actually, we have about 10 minutes left, and I thought let's just go through some of the questions that I've sent on to you from our listeners that I've been receiving. And I think the first one is with regards to a peach tree. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but what can you tell us about that? It's from Sister Aisha Karolia, I think, Karodia, who sent that in during the week, and she wanted to know about the pictures that she sent about her peach tree. She has used a chili spray. But you can see from the pictures and tell us what you see so that Sister Aisha can maybe do something to make her peach trees better again.
Yes, I had a look at that peach tree, and apart from that heavy infestation of red spider mite, the other leaves looks quite green and healthy. What I think happened there is that there is not enough air circulation in the tree itself, and that have resulted in that heavy infestation that she's got there. And because it's so severe, I would recommend that she gets a good insecticide or pesticide. Excuse me a second. That you get the pesticide for fruit trees. So if you go to your local nursery, just ask for a fruit tree spray. And also there's a Margaret Roberts organic insecticide that you can use. Because it's a fruit tree, organic insecticide is much better to use. But you can also try your neem oil, add a little bit of dishwashing liquid to that, and spray both sides of the leaves, the top and the underside. The leaves that are very heavy infected, if you can just cut those leaves off and don't even throw it on a compost heap. You can just burn it, basically, and also all the leaf debris at the bottom of the tree, if there are any of those, just rake it up, and that just to prevent a reinfection, because that insects will hibernate in those leaves that dropped at below the tree, basically.
Okay. Sister Aisha, I hope that helps you. And then Sister Rehana sent us a video with regards to her 30-year-old roses.
Wow, that is absolutely marvelous. Those roses are doing so well. And you say it's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. 30 years old, yes.
Wow, and it's so flat.
Oh, dear. We seem to have lost connection with Astrid again. Let's try and get her back. But I must say that your roses are stunning. And also I've received, from Brother Yunus as well, I'm really, really looking forward to meeting you and just looking at your garden, because you always send us such pretty pictures of, you know, your garden, little parts of your garden, plants that you have. And today you've sent us a cycad or a cycas. And you want to know the name for this. As soon as we get Astrid back, we inshallah ask her. It looks very, very pretty, very unusual, I must say. So we'd like to find out from her as well. And then also we've got, Astrid's back. So Astrid, you back with us?
Yes, we lost connection again.
Yeah. All right, so you were telling us about the rose tree that's dying.
Yes, it's actually more stunted. It seems that it's still hanging on to dear life. that should be taken out and replanted to a different spot. Prepare the planting hole with lots of compost, a handful of bone meal, and some 2-3-2, and just replant it in a different spot, because where it is, it doesn't get all the resources that it needs. The two roses next to it is quite big and healthy and vigorous. So that little one is not getting enough water, enough light, and also enough food. So it just needs to be replanted.
Okay. And then I sent you the picture of the cycad or cycas. For Brother Yunus, can you tell us what the name of that one is, please, if you're able to recognize it?
Okay, let me see if I can get into that, because I didn't see that picture with the others when I looked at it. But let me just see.
I was just saying to the listeners when you went off air that Brother Yunus sends us little pictures mm-hmm. of his garden. I can only imagine what a lovely garden he must have.
Mm-hmm.
I think in that picture, I think he has Barberton daisies at the back, or some sort of daisy. Mm-hmm. And I love the Barberton daisy, so very yeah. pretty.
Mm-hmm. Also one of my favorites, and I must surely take my hat off to Brother Yunus, because his amaryllis is sent, that picture of the amaryllis is sent.
Uh-huh.
It's spectacular. And all the little pics he sent of his garden. So definitely, I think Brother Yunus should get the Gardener of the Year award.
Yeah, maybe we should have that. We should ask our avid gardeners out there to take a 1-minute video of their gardens and send it to us, and we can maybe put it up on our website, and you can judge to see, or we can get our listeners to judge and say who's got the best garden. There we go.
Yes, definitely. And Brother Yunus, I think that you are up there, number one. As I'm very biased at the moment, but the pictures that you are sharing with us, really, you've got a beautiful garden, and I must congratulate you with that. Okay, I am not able to see the picture of the cycad, but I will have a look at it, and I will reply to it. That's okay. What I usually do.
All right. Sister Aisha has just messaged saying that her rose tree is from 1966, And she puts all of her banana skins in, into the root area of the rose tree. So these rose trees are probably loving these banana peels.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Banana peels are high in potassium,
mm-hmm.
And you can see the results, the way those rose bushes are laden with flowers, and they're so healthy.
Absolutely.
All the plants are so healthy. Except for that little one that is stunted because it's not getting all the resources.
Sister Aisha says her rose tree is from 1966, which makes it at least 54 years old. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Well done.
Sister Aisha.
Well done. And then we've got one more question that's come through. And again, we've got the curry leaf tree. How do you take care of the curry leaf tree? You know, even though we've spoken about this, off air, I get many, many people who ask me, please ask Astrid how to look after the curry leaf tree.
Well, curry leaf trees are very, very temperamental. That is my conclusion.
Depending on where they grow,
yes. They're very temperamental, and I think they're one of those plants that are attention seekers.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so what do we do, if you could just give us a little quick rundown on the curry leaf tree story again, because we get that one coming up quite often.
Yes, this time of the year, the curry leaf tree is plagued with what we call a psylla insect, also known as citrus psylla, and it makes your curry leaves actually curl up, and it looks all bumpy, and it looks like it has a lot of pimples on the one side while curling up tightly. So that is something that this time of the year is very common. Even my own curry leaf tree that I've got in my garden, I have the same problem, and they are just prone to that. So you can cut the most effective leaves off and just give it a feeding, if it's in pots with liquid feeding, if it's in the garden, you can give it a bit of 2-3-2, add some compost, that is just to boost new growth. And what the citrus psylla is concerned, spray with neem oil, especially on the back, on the bottom side of the leaves, because that is where this tiny little insect sits and sucking the juices and making the leaves curl up like that. In Durban, they the curry leaf trees basically grow in any position, maybe full sun to half shade, because this is the type of climate, the subtropical climate that they grow in. In other parts of the country, a full sun to semi-shady position, out of strong winds, especially if you're in the Cape area. If you're in the high veld and other areas where it is winter prone to frost conditions, in autumn you basically need to put frost covers around it to prevent the plant from shedding all its leaves and start dying back. So general feeding, as I said, liquid feeding if they are in pots, in gardens, 2-3-2, and then also we're now in October, round about middle of November, you can give it something like 815. And remember always to mulch with compost, just to prevent excessive evaporation, especially if you are in areas where you don't get summer rainfall.
Yeah, Okay. All right. I think that is all the information we can give you today with regards to gardening, because we have come to the end of today's show. We apologize for the connection problems that we have, but it seems to be happening quite often recently with regards to, you know, using cell phones and the connections that we have because of the issues with cell phone batteries being stolen, and obviously also, you know, sometimes the degradation of the internet connection happens. So we do apologize for that. But Astrid, thank you very much, and we will speak to you again next week.
Yes, Anisha, and enjoy your gardening day, gardeners, all the listeners out there, and remember, you shouldn't slave away in your garden. You must actually just stop and smell the roses.
Yeah, sit down in your garden today in a nice little deck chair, or run around barefoot, or just even roll around on the grass, and it would actually rejuvenate and energize you if you can do that. Otherwise, just sit quietly in your garden and appreciate the wonders that God has provided for us. I hope that you have a wonderful day, Astrid, and like I said, we'll talk to you again next week.
Much, and enjoy your gardening day as well, Anisha.
Thank you very much, Astrid.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye-bye. That's our gardening show coming to an end this morning, and I hope that you have enjoyed listening to us speak about the benefits of gardening, the health benefits in particular, and I hope that you will enjoy your gardening day in South Africa today. It's time for our 8 a.m. news bulletin, and inshallah, when we come back, it is time for our second favorite event for the day, for our show rather, and that's our text of the favor of Patel.